Ephesians chapter 6 is the portion of God's Word we turn to this afternoon. We continue in our series on the armor of God, the Christian in complete armor. We read the chapter again in its entirety, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not into wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient. Are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love, with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. Next is verse 15. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as those who have been made partakers of Jesus Christ and all his benefits, we are also those who have been enlisted into the spiritual army of our Savior. As Christians now, we have the calling to fight in a spiritual battle. We have the calling to fight for the cause of righteousness, and to fight against sin and against Satan. For this warfare, our captain, our general, Jesus Christ, has given us armor, spiritual armor, which we must put on. If we're going to stand and fight, and if we're going to fight successfully, we must put on all of this armor. As we continue in our study of this armor, we come this afternoon to the third piece of equipment, the footwear. So far, the inspired apostle has charged us to put on the girdle of truth, the belt of truth. So far, the apostle has also charged us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And now, the apostle turns our attention to the footwear we must wear, the footwear of the gospel of peace. We take as our theme, footwear of the gospel of peace. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, the meaning. Second, the benefit or benefits. And third, the calling. Healthy feet are important. If you don't have healthy feet, you can't walk. If you don't have healthy feet, you're going to be slow. And if you're a soldier and you don't have healthy feet, you're going to be vulnerable to the enemy. In order to have healthy feet, among other things, you need good shoes. Tradesmen on the job site know this. Hunters know this. And perhaps more than anyone else, soldiers know this. And their generals know this. Alexander the Great is a famous military commander who lived about 330 years before Jesus. And with his army, he was able to conquer the then known world from Greece all the way down to Egypt, all the way east to India. And his success was largely due to one factor: his soldiers' footwear. Alexander's soldiers had such good footwear that they were able to move so quickly, so swiftly, cover so much ground that they could defeat their enemy before their enemy organized themselves for battle. The Roman Empire also placed a heavy emphasis on footwear. Because if you've got bad footwear, not only do your feet get tired when you're marching for miles and miles every day, but if you don't have good footwear, you begin to slip and slide, and you start hurting other parts of the body too. In addition, we know that the kind of fighting the Roman soldiers did was hand-to-hand combat. If you couldn't stand your ground, if you were slipping and falling, your enemy was soon going to get the upper hand. Especially if you were fighting on wet grass, or grass covered in blood, or even on the snow. You needed good shoes. The kind of footwear that the Roman soldier wore was something like what we would call a sandal, but in the form of a boot, an open boot. They didn't have fancy all-terrain combat boots. They had sandals, but they were well-built sandals. These sandals had thick soles for comfort, and they had hobnails or little spikes or nails driven through those soles so that they had cleats. Think of track cleats or even baseball cleats. This prevented slipping and prevented the sandals from wearing out too quickly as well. And the sandals would have leather straps that would go all the way up the ankle, even to the calf, like a boot, so that the sandal was kept firmly in place. With such good footwear, the Roman soldier was sure-footed. He had good grip so that he wouldn't slip or slide. He could dig in his feet into the ground when he was fighting the enemy. And when he had to move quickly, he was ready for that too. And of course, his good shoes protected his feet from sharp rocks, from thorns and thistles, from hot, blistering desert sand, or from freezing ground. Without his shoes, his feet would be cut open, blistered, and tired. He wouldn't last long at all. In those days, Roman soldiers often had to walk miles and miles every single day just to get to the battlefield. Good boots were very important. We understand that today as well. Some of us are willing to spend hundreds of dollars on a pair of boots that fit just right and that will get the job done. Well, Christians too need to pay particular attention to footwear that they are putting on. If we don't have good footwear, we won't be ready for the battle. If we don't have good footwear, we won't be able to keep up with the marching commands. If we don't have good footwear, the enemy is going to have an advantage over us. We will be slipping and sliding, slow moving, dealing with all kinds of sores and setbacks. And in the text, when Paul speaks about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what Paul is thinking about is the idea of readiness. That's the focus here. Our feet represent our spiritual readiness. Just as the belt of truth was the foundational piece of equipment that a soldier needs to put on first, and it's going to tie everything together and give his body the fitness and the unity that it needs. And just as the breastplate covers the heart and the loins, our feelings and our heart, so the footwear emphasizes our spiritual readiness. It emphasizes the ability to march and to stand in battle. Are you ready to move? Are you ready to stand in battle? The question is, are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, let's look at that language a little more carefully, because when we first read it, perhaps it comes off as a little confusing. We don't understand what Paul means. Well, first of all, Paul uses the word shod. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To have your feet shod simply means you have sandals fastened to your feet. I think of it this way, maybe for the children. To have your feet shod is to have your feet shoed. You have shoes on your feet, and they are fastened. They're on your feet. Sandals fastened to your feet. Second, let us look at the language, the gospel of peace. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word gospel means good news. And the content of that good news is peace. The gospel that has for its content peace. What Paul simply means is that there is good news for God's people. Namely, the fact that we have peace with God. By nature, we don't have peace with God. By nature of ourselves, we are the enemies of God, children of wrath. By nature, we are God-haters. That's what you see in much of the world. They haven't been regenerated. That's who we are by nature. There's warfare by nature between God and us. And that warfare is a result of our sin. Our sin is a barrier that is put up between God and us. Our sin is basically a flag that we wave that says, I'm against God. I'm at war with God. The Bible says it quite clearly, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. To the wicked, walking in sin, there's no peace. And that's ultimately because God Himself is the God of peace. All peace is found in God. He is the triune God who enjoys peace in Himself. And except you are brought into communion with Him, you do not know and you do not experience that peace that is found in God. Inasmuch as our sins separate us from God, our sins also separate us from peace. Because God is the God of all peace. There is no peace outside of Him. But the gospel of peace is this good news that God, in His mercy and pure grace, has established peace for elect sinners. And He has done so through the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. The gospel is the glorious news that God has not left elect sinners in their sins. He sent His only begotten Son to bear our punishment on the cross. And because Jesus has satisfied God's justice and taken away all that sin, our sin and guilt, we can now have peace with God. We can be brought into a relationship of friendship and harmony and peace with God through Jesus Christ. God no longer hides anything against us or holds anything against us. Our sins are blotted out. We are received into His favor through Jesus Christ. And not only is that reality proclaimed to us so that we know we can have peace, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we actually enter into the enjoyment and the experience of that peace with God. By the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, we are actually changed from being God-haters to God-lovers. And we actually live in peace with God. We pronounce it. It's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Yes, we still have our sinful natures, but that's no longer all that we are. By the Holy Spirit, we are given spiritual life so that we are made God lovers. And we enjoy peace with God. We know God loves us. We know God thinks good things concerning us. We know God is not against us, but works all things together for our good. And suddenly we are not God haters, but we are sin haters. We repent of our sin. We flee our sin. And with love and delight, we walk with God in all good works. As Romans 5 verse 1 puts it, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of peace. I know God loves me. I know God's favor is upon me. I know that through Jesus Christ, God thinks not evil thoughts, but thoughts of peace. He will not condemn me. He will not punish me. He will not forsake me or abandon me. I know that for Christ's sake, God is my God and will forever be my God and Father. That's the gospel of peace. Notice, it's not the gospel of doubts. It's not the gospel of fears and anxieties. It's not the gospel that leaves me forever wondering whether God loves me, whether He is for me or against me. No, it's the gospel of peace. I am at rest with this certain and sure thought. I am God's and He is mine. He calls me Hephzibah. He delights in me instead of waging war against me. He has espoused me unto Himself. That's the gospel of peace. And having peace with God, we have peace with each other in the body of Christ. Having peace with God, bound together, knit together with by the gospel of peace, God's people also have peace with each other. And as I already implied, having peace with God, it means now that we are at war with Satan. And that's what the Christian warfare is all about. And now to move on, notice how Paul puts it. He looked at just the gospel of peace now. But Paul doesn't say, have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. He includes a word, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that makes it sound a little wordy. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does Paul mean? Well, the word preparation could perhaps better be translated preparedness or readiness. That's the idea of the word, readiness. Again, what Paul has in mind is our readiness. We need to be ready for the warfare. And what makes you ready for the warfare? Having your feet shod with, or having shoes on your feet. That's what makes you ready. Don't we even say that sometimes at home? I remember growing up. You got your boots on, you're ready to go to the barn, ready to go to work. That was the standard, if you were ready or not. You had your boots on. And so Paul thinks of the footwear of the Christian soldier, and he's thinking about this idea of readiness. The Christian needs to be ready. And how can he be ready? By putting on his boots, the gospel of peace. I could put it this way. Have your feet shod with the readiness that comes from knowing the gospel of peace. Prepare your feet, Christian soldier, by putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Put on readiness. Make yourself ready. Put on readiness on your feet by putting on the gospel of peace. Other translations have it this way. Have your feet shod or fastened with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this is perhaps a minor point, but I want it to be clear. The theme for the sermon this afternoon could perhaps better have been this. The footwear of readiness. Because that's what Paul's, that's his idea, the footwear of readiness. But the point is, the readiness itself comes from enjoying the gospel of peace. So to make it simple, I simply worded it that way. The footwear of the gospel of peace. That's what makes us ready. That's what gets us prepared if we put on the gospel of peace. When God declares peace in the gospel, and the Spirit applies that peace to the heart of the believer so that he enjoys peace with God, and he's determined to live in peace with his neighbor, and he's living out of that peace, then he is ready for warfare. If you have peace with God, if you know your sins are forgiven and that God is your God and God is for you, if you know that gospel of peace, then you are ready to fight against the wiles of the devil. If your heart is peaceless, if you're full of agitation, full of vexing doubts, hard questionings, wondering if all your sins have been forgiven, wondering if God still holds something against you, if your heart is peaceless and you're full of agitation towards your neighbor and you're bickering with your fellow soldiers on the battlefield, well then when the enemy approaches and the battle draws near, you won't be ready. You will falter. The footwear helps us maintain or advance our battle position. The footwear is the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, I think if we understand what peace is, then we also can easily understand its benefits. We will be ready. Our feet won't slip. Our feet won't slide. They won't get cut up and blistered. We will be ready to go where the captain of our salvation sends us. We will be able to serve and able to move quickly. But now here in the second point, as we talk about the benefit, there's a little bit of a disagreement over what the Apostle Paul has in mind. A common interpretation of the text is to say that our shoes are simply our readiness to spread the gospel and to engage in personal evangelism, as if that's the entire focus of the passage. We need to have our feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace in order to bring the good news of the gospel to others, in order to tell them about the peace that's found in Jesus Christ. When the text is interpreted that way, then invariably, without doubt, an appeal is made to Isaiah 52, verse 7. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, we read, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings," gospel news, "that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." And what interpreters will do is point out that in that verse, Isaiah 52, verse 7, mention is made of feet and the gospel and peace. And therefore, when Paul uses those three same words in Ephesians 6, verse 15, Paul must be thinking about Isaiah 52, verse 7. And he must be thinking about preachers and evangelism work. He must be thinking about heralds who had to walk many miles on foot. Think of Jonah, who had to walk all the way to Nineveh. Needed good shoes for that trip in order to spread the gospel. Well, the problem with that interpretation is that the Apostle Paul isn't focused on heralds of the gospel. He's not focused on describing what a herald looks like. He's focused on describing a soldier. His mind is on armor, not shoes that a herald would wear, not the kind of shoes I'm wearing right now. Combat boots. Armor for the soldier. Now, certainly there's nothing wrong with personal witnessing. Scripture tells us that every Christian is a witness, and every Christian must be ready to give a witness to those around him. And certainly, this is one way in which a Christian will benefit if he has on the shoes of the gospel of peace. He will be ready to engage unbelievers with the gospel. And that's one way to carry out spiritual warfare. Yes, we assault Satan's kingdom by seizing opportunity to tell men and women who are under his power that spiritual freedom is found in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't put on the footwear of peace, you won't be ready to seize the opportunity. But the point is this, Paul hasn't suddenly changed his metaphor here. He's not talking about ministers of the gospel and their calling to preach. After all, you can do all the preaching that you want, but you're never going to defeat Satan and his dominion by trying to convert Satan to the Christian faith. Satan will not be converted through the preaching. That's not what Paul has in mind. He's talking about all Christians and their need to personally ready themselves for the battle against Satan by putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. So having explained that common view, we are faced with the question, what then is the benefit of having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? What's the value? We could put it this way. The value for us is the same as what it was for the Roman soldier. First of all, the benefit is the Christian will be sure-footed. He will have grip, spiritual grip. Because Satan will come to us and he will try to make you doubt God's love for you. Those are the wiles of Satan, and he does it in every way because he knows your sin. He uses your sins against you. Satan will come to you and he will say, the reason your life is so hard right now is because God is at war with you. The reason you went through that difficult experience in life is because God doesn't love you. He's against you. And Satan will come to us and say, why do the wicked prosper? And you're here struggling to make ends meet financially. Why all this stress in your life that threatens maybe to tear your marriage apart and your family? If God loved you like his child, wouldn't he give you what you need? Well, at those times, if you don't have on the shoes of the gospel of peace, you're going to slip. Isn't that exactly what happened to Asaph in Psalm 73? In Psalm 73, verse 2, Asaph confesses, but as for me, my feet were well nigh gone, were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. A leader in the church, a choir director. Why? He says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He says, I had no shoes on my grip. I wasn't thinking straight. He thought to himself exactly just what we said. If God loves me as his child, then why does he cause the wicked to prosper and he causes me, a righteous man, to struggle? He had forgotten the gospel of peace. And he had forgotten that although the wicked might have earthly prosperity, they don't have peace with God. Asaph forgot to fasten his feet with the shoes of the gospel of peace, and he almost slipped. But now think of another man. Think of David in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, verse 33, David exclaims, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. Think of the goat. I've seen a goat on the Hoover Dam or a huge dam like that climbing up the dam. That goat can't have feet that slip. David says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. In Psalm 18, verse 36, David says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Why was that the case for David? Because David knew full well at that time that God was his God. You read Psalm 18 and that's the message. God was like riding on the clouds, coming swiftly to David's protection and for David's cause. He knew he had peace with God. He knew God was for him. You see, David had his feet shod with the gospel of peace. And with that gospel of peace with God, his feet weren't going to slip. He had no fear. He wasn't paralyzed by anxiety or doubts. He knew that God was God and God was his God. He knew that his God reigns. He had nothing of which to be afraid. So first of all, as Christian soldiers having on the shoes of the gospel of peace, our feet will have a sure footing and we will have grip when the wiles of Satan come against us. Second of all, the benefit is this. As Christians, our feet will be protected as we walk along rough terrain. That's very similar. Our way through life is sometimes marked by difficult paths. Sometimes we have to climb those high mountains we want to climb. Sometimes we're walking through a deep valley that goes on for mile after mile after mile, and it seems like the captain of our salvation won't stop telling us to walk. All along the way, there are sharp rocks. All along the way, there are thorns and thistles. There are bears and there are wolves hiding. I'm thinking now of a sheep, but think of a person. Sometimes Satan sets out traps for God's people. Sometimes he brings persecution upon God's people. Just think of Job. That was exactly what Satan wanted with Job. He came to Job, and his attempt was to make Job curse God and fall into sin. But in order to avoid falling into sin so that his feet didn't slip, what did Job continue to do? He continued to dwell on who God was as his God. He knew that God was his God. He knew he had peace with God. That's why in the heat of the moment he cries out, "I know Satan's trying to make me forget, but I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He knew who his God was. He knew he had peace with God because he knew who his Redeemer was. He knew that God was for him. And knowing these things, he was ready as he could have been for the devastating experiences he went through. He knew that ultimately, he didn't understand it, but God was for him and not against him. Actually, when we use that language, that God is not against him, isn't that exactly what Jacob forgot? The patriarch Jacob, when his sons came back from Egypt, and they gave him the news that Simeon had to stay back in Egypt, and they weren't able to go back to Egypt without bringing Benjamin along. And Jacob said, "Joseph is gone. You've taken Simeon away from me. And now you want to take Benjamin." And he said, "All these things are against me." The reality was, Jacob had lost sight of the gospel of peace. No, all these things are not against you. But in fact, in Jesus Christ, God is working all these things to your advantage, Jacob. He will avert all evil or turn it to your profit. What do the Scriptures say? Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, that's what Jacob was looking at, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let your eye gaze upon the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we had this morning. Let the reality of what Jesus Christ accomplished sink into your heart as a believing child of God. Let it flood your soul and let it color your outlook. And let the gospel of peace be the shoes on which you walk each day. And when you do that, you will be ready. Ready to confront the wiles of the devil with strength and ability. So second of all, we will have protection. Third, the benefit is this. As Christians, we will be ready to go wherever God calls us to go. Again, this is similar, but it's slightly different. We will be mobile, just like the Roman soldiers. We will be ready to fight the battle against sin. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, we will be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Knowing that the coal has been taken off the altar and it has cleansed our lips. Knowing that our whole person has been washed clean in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All our sins are forgiven. We will be ready to march on whatever path the Lord calls us to march. We will be ready because we have on our shoes, and because our hearts will be overflowing with thankfulness. That's why we serve as willing soldiers. Think about that. Some soldiers march into battle because they love their country. Some soldiers fight because they are slaves who have to fight. Or they're mercenaries who are simply earning a paycheck. We're not mercenaries, beloved. Other soldiers fight because of pride. They seek glory and honor and fame. Other soldiers fight perhaps out of fear, because they know if they turn back, there's the machine gun from their own captain ready to shoot them down. That's not why Christians fight. None of that is why. Not because we want to earn our salvation. Not because we are bigots. Not because we are intolerant of others. Not because we are afraid we might lose our salvation. That's not why we fight. But we fight because we are motivated by the gospel of peace. This is my good news, the glorious news. I have peace with God. My sins are forgiven. We are the adopted children of the Lord God. He's given His only begotten Son. He Himself came into this world, took upon Himself my flesh and blood to bear my punishment in my place. Knowing that wonder of the gospel, knowing that peace, I am ready, I am prepared, and I am motivated out of thankfulness. Motivated to stand, motivated to put away sin, motivated to share the gospel, motivated to do good, true good to those around me. And that leads us to the last benefit I will mention. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having our feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, we have this benefit. We will dwell in peace with God's people. We have peace with God. So why would I compete with my fellow Christian? Why be contentious? Why cause controversy? No, this gospel of peace that I enjoy, it destroys all pride. It humbles me so that I am meek and gentle, so that I have happiness in my heart. That's my heart's attitude. I am happy. The gospel of peace gives me contentment. And in that spirit of contentment and peace, I have peace in my own life. And I will be able to have peace with my neighbor and love my neighbor as I'm called to love him. The gospel of peace moves me to put away my lust, put away my lying, put away my bad attitude, put away my bitterness and my laziness, and I endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's in Ephesians 4, verse 2. I guess the point is this. The shoes of the Christian soldier are not strictly an offensive weapon. You don't kick your enemy with your combat boots. Nor are they merely a defensive weapon. But the shoes of the Christian allow the Christian to use all of who he is, all his other armor, the way it's supposed to be used. That's the importance. That's the benefit of having the right shoes on. That's the benefit of having your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So what's the calling? Well, of course, the calling is to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. The calling is to get ready and to fasten sandals. But how do we do that? Well, let me first speak about my calling as pastor. My calling as a preacher of the gospel is to preach to you the gospel of peace. My calling is to show you that God has indeed reconciled you unto Himself through the substitutionary life and death of His Son Jesus Christ. My calling is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to you every week again, week after week after week. My calling is to show you from the gospel that God is God, and that He is your God, and that He reigns as your God. My calling is to preach to you and to tell you that God calls you Hephzibah, and He delights in you, and you have peace with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And what is your calling? Your calling is to come to church. Your calling is to sit under that preaching, and your calling is to soak up, put on the gospel of peace. Your calling is to delight yourself in God's Word. Your calling is to bring your mind and heart to church and to listen to what God says as your God. And to receive that gospel of peace in humility. That's how your feet are shod. The soldier of the cross sings, as we already sang it this afternoon, "With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there. We come, they come, we come to learn Jehovah's will, His mighty deeds to own. For there is judgment's royal seat, Messiah's kingly throne." That's our calling, to constantly be putting on the gospel of peace. Children, this is why you come to church and you need it every Sunday again. Twice is a good thing. To constantly be dwelling upon what God has done for you in Christ and who you are in Christ, and that you belong to Christ and you understand it rightly. Our calling, your calling, my calling, is to attend to the sacraments. And then, of course, in our family devotions, beloved, if you want to be ready in the warfare that will come to you in your family, you need to have those times of devotions and prayer and personal devotions to be in God's Word and dwell upon the peace that you have with God through Jesus Christ. God's Word into your hearts and appropriate it by true and living faith. Take it for yourself. Own it as your own by a true and living faith, and cherish it. Beloved congregation, beloved soldiers of the cross, I beseech you, by the mercies of Jesus Christ, take care of your feet. We walk in the midst of a battlefield. The enemy is relentless. The enemy is fierce. We walk where the paths are often slippery, covered with thorns and thistles and sharp rocks. Sometimes we are walking through a deep valley that seems to go on for mile after mile after mile. If you know anything about construction work, if you know anything about working on cement all day long, if you know anything about hiking up a high mountain, you know you need to take care of your feet. If you know anything about camping, you know you need to take care of your feet. The Word of God to you as the spiritual soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ, take care of your feet. This morning your feet were tended to. This morning your feet were washed, and your whole selves was washed. This morning we were reminded of the gospel of peace. This morning we were comforted. The battle has been won. There is victory through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And now we look back at it, and really, what was happening this morning? Even as you were eating and drinking, you were being armed. You were being equipped. Your hearts were being prepared, shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, this afternoon, the calling is, stand, beloved. Stand on those feet. Fight like your life depends upon it. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Fight before you let the enemy take the upper hand. Fight now while the battle isn't as hot as it might be. Fight so that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Fight, giving God the glory, feeling His pleasure in you as He sees you as a soldier of the cross fighting for His kingdom and His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, Thou dost take delight in us. Thou dost take pleasure in us as Thy people. Thou dost take pleasure in us even in this way, as Thou dost equip us and call us and position us to stand on the battlefield and fight for the cause of Thy glory. Father, take pleasure in us by equipping us and leading us in the battle, giving us strength day by day. And as we heard this afternoon, may our feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we put on the whole armor of God. May we stand and fight to Thy glory and honor. Give us peace, Father, in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.